make this brief presentation on practical tips on how to enjoy performing or offering our salat. Let me begin with the verses of Quran, Surah 23, the first two verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Indeed, the believers are successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are humble in their prayers, right? Khushu is something which, in fact, the heart is the one which will, in which, for example, the submissiveness and that humility, there is heart which plays that role. When a person is attentive with his mind and heart, you'll find that he or she would have that khushu. When we say our prayers, submissiveness and also humility. So Allah says, Alladhin hum fi salatim khashiyun, those who have khushu, those who are humble in their prayers. So of course, prayers is something which we are required. As we say, all Muslims are required to say salat 5 times daily, right? There is no exception to this other than those who, of course, sisters who are on their hajj or menses, right? Salat is part of daily routine, and we have to accept and like it. It is important because as Muslims, we are required to say salat, so we have to accept it and make part of our routine, right? Obviously, we do not abhor for its divine command. We will never, of course, dislike the salat because it is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has commanded us in number of times, number of places in the Quran to say prayers. But at the same time, let us not even consider it a burden or difficult thing. It is important that we should not consider it as a burden. There is a typo there. That sometimes people think, oh, salat is a burden, something we need to do it, let's get over it. That should not be the case. What we are going to discuss today, inshallah, is that what can we do? What are some practical tips we can keep in mind so that we enjoy saying our salat? We would like to offer saying our salat. We are looking forward for that, right? So we say, let us learn to love it and look forward for the time of prayer to approach so we connect and worship the beloved Lord, the Creator, the Cherisher. Now, the Prophet, Hazrat Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the time of prayer approached, he would ask Bilal, Arihni ya Bilal. Oh, Bilal, free me of anxiety. What does that tell you? That he was looking forward to say salat, right? Said that when the time of prayers came, instead of considering it as a burden, he would say, no, I'm waiting for that moment that I can commute, I can start communication, I can, you know, just talk to my Lord, right? I can worship him, I should pray to him. So he says, Arihni ya Bilal, free me of burden. So like a person longs to thank someone who has done you a great favor. Say, for example, somebody, you were in a hospital, you needed a donation of an organ. For example, I know people who got, for example, kidney, right? So God forbid if one of us is in that situation that he or she needed a kidney and you got donated, right? After you get well, the first thing you would do is that you'll ask the hospital, right? Okay, who is the one? Can I see the donor? I would like to thank the donor, right? Because he or she gave me this kidney, now I can function well. It's human nature that you would like to thank, right? So you're longing to just meet this donor, right? Or for example, somebody who has saved your child from difficulty or an accident, for example. If you realize that, no, my son would have had this kind of accident or this happened, but somebody saved him. What do we do? We are longing to meet and thank that person, isn't it so? That should be the kind of yearning and liking for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why do we worship Him? To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time, for example, we already said our Maghribain Namaz, so all this time until tomorrow morning, Fajr prayer, right? Around 5:30, 5:35, for example, when we serve prayer, all the ni'mat which we'll have, we'll have our food, for example, have our fruits, you might have something to eat before you sleep, you'll sleep, you'll go home. All the ni'mat we are going to enjoy, we would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there are many other reasons we say salat, but we are yearning for that moment. So let us try to see what can we do? How can we bring about that joy in our life that when we say our salat, we are doing it with joy and happiness? Let me share with you a hadith, subhanAllah. It's indeed, in fact, quite the hadith here from the sixth Imam Jafar Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Imam says, as for the prayer, half of it may be accepted, or one third, or a quarter, or one fifth, or even one tenth. You can imagine, sometimes the prayer only half will be accepted, Imam says. Sometimes only one third is accepted. Sometimes only a quarter of it is accepted. Sometimes only one fifth is accepted, or even one tenth. Then Imam says, another prayer may be folded like an old dress and be thrown back to the face of its owner. No part of the prayer is yours accepted, except that part which is done with attentive heart. Do you see? So we need to have the heart which is attentive, the mind which is attentive when we say our prayers. It's not that when we are saying prayers, and that time we are thinking of everything else other than Salat. So the first thing, of course, is let us know the significance of Salat. As I said earlier, that you realize that somebody has been so kind to you, realizing that person, you want to meet him. In the same way, once you realize how important and how significant Salat is, that automatically would make us yearn for it. Automatically will make us like it and love it, you know. So it is an opportunity to get near to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, for example, I'm saying 3 rakat namaz of Maghrib, wajib qurbatan ilallah, right? Wajib qurbatan ilallah, that means I seek nearness of Allah. Qurbatan ilallah, I'm trying to seek nearness of Allah. How can I get? Now, of course, Allah is not a physical body. That by saying, for example, you're not physically near. But what we are near, we are physically near to His mercy, to His grace, to His bounties, to His blessings, to barakah, to ni'mat, to rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? As we say our salat. So you can see that we realize that it is through salat, and it is important. For example, when a person travels from here all the way to Makkah, right? You take the trip all the way to Makkah, then you are in the holiest place. So to get near that, but holy, yeah, that's the holiest place you are there. But imagine when you are in salat, you are nearest to Allah's mercy. Do you see? And it's only through salat we can achieve that status. And that is why we are told a salat mirajul mu'min, right? It is an ascension of for believers. That means the ruh of the spirit of the believer, the ruh of the believer will ascend, do miraj, will do ruj. Towards what? Towards the exalted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because your prayers are also being raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your spirit also will be raised, right? It was the practice of all the prophets, imams, and the awliya of Allah to observe their prayers. You see, so these prayers, actually, it is not only you and me who are praying. This was the practice of all the prophets, right? It was the practice of all the imams, even the awliya, those who are beloved. We say Aliyun Waliyullah. Means what? Ali is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So awliya is wali, no, plural of wali. So awliya of Allah, those who are beloved of Allah, those who love Allah, whom Allah also loves them, even salat is the most important part of their life. Now, so it's a practice which they do it and we also follow it, right? It is a pillar of the religion and key for acceptance of deeds, right? There's a clear hadith which says, Inna salat amududdin, right? A salat is the pillar of religion. In qubilat, qubila ma siwaha. In ruddat, ruddha ma siwaha. To the extent that if salat is accepted, then other deeds are accepted. In ruddat, if salat is rejected, then other deeds are rejected. This gives an example. Say, for example, that in a paper, you're looking for a job. You're an engineer, right? You're looking for a job. And finally, you found that, this company wants an engineer, right? And you make all this, application and prepare the package, and you go there. And then when they invite you for interview, the first question they ask that, are you a Canadian? You said, no, I'm not a Canadian. I just come here, I'm looking for a job, right? They said, didn't you read there in a fine print that we accept no application only from Canadians? So you can imagine, although you might have all the qualifications, but because the company has a policy of only employing Canadians, then they would look at your package, right? In the same way, if salat is accepted, right, then other deeds will be looked at. In qubilat qubila ma siwaha. If salat is accepted, then other deeds are accepted. There are so many good deeds we are doing. Fasting, zakat, homes, helping others, giving somebody ride, being generous, right? All those are good actions we do, right? But if salat is accepted, other deen be accepted. So it is important that we love the Salat and pray with joy, right? It is a pillar of religion. So people who delay, abandon, and take Salat lightly is on account of not knowing its greatness. Our observation over all these years of serving the community and preaching and being with the community and meeting with, you know, youths and sometimes even elders who don't say Salat, we have found one thing which is common. Whether it's a young person, young boy or young girl, an elderly person, old person, a Muslim who doesn't say Salat, a Muslim who delays his Salat, a Muslim who says Salat without following all the requirements, right? You'll find one of the reasons which is common in all these cases is they do not realize the importance of Salat. If they were to realize how important Salat is, what does it mean Salat is, why it is so much emphasized, if they realize, they would not do that. Because even if they are busy, even if, for example, they are lazy, even if, for example, they feel, for example, laziness, they would say no, because this is so important, I would put aside everything else and make a point that I offer my Salat, right? I say my Salat. So it is on account of not knowing the importance, right? The sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he said, the reward that you derive from your Salat is limited to the extent you offer it with attentive heart. Do you see? Attentive heart, as he said, قَدْ أَفْلَ الْمُنَا أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Your heart should be attentive, he said. And if someone should vitiate all of it or neglect its etiquette, it is wound up and thrown at the face of its offerer. So you can imagine that Salat which you have done wudu and offered, but sometimes the same Salat are being thrown back at us, Imam says, on account of not being attentive. So the mind has to be attentive, the heart has to be attentive, and this will only happen when we really feel that no, this is important, and would like to perform it, right? We go to the next slide now. The second thing, of course, is empty your heart for all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important. Even in the niyat we say, Qurbatan ilallah. I'm seeking the qurba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't say qurbatan ilallah wa rasul wa la'imma wal mu'minin. No, no. We say qurbatan ilallah, right? Seeking nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means at the time of salat, and this is first applying to me, I'm lecturing myself more than anybody else, that when I say salat, the most important thing for me is that my attention is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what you know as emptying of the heart, right? That meaning you just empty your heart, that means empty, remove everything else, every preoccupation. For example, in my mind, as I was saying my prayers, you know, I was preparing for my lecture, right? So in my mind, for example, I was thinking what I'm going to speak, how I'm going to do presentation, which hadith I include, right? No, that means I'm occupying in my mind other things. At the time of salat, and I know this is a challenge, it's easily said than done, I know very well, I don't dispute that. But I can assure you one thing, it is doable. Because if it was not doable, it would not be required. Allah would not ask from us to do certain things if it was not possible. It is doable, it's only that matter of training ourselves, right? So empty your heart for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Have no other concerns, worries and thoughts in the mind as if nothing else matters. At that particular time, it takes how many? 4 minutes? 5 minutes? As if that for 5 minutes, the world has stopped for you. Everything else doesn't matter for you. Whatever you are doing, right? Just empty. Disengage yourself from all other preoccupations. Attentive mind and heart is a must for Salat. And it can be achieved. We know of so many people who have achieved this thing, it can be done, Mu'mineen, right? Again, the hadith from the sixth Imam says, it is written in Tawrat, O son of Adam, if you empty yourself for my worship, see what Allah says, I will fill your heart with richness and I will not abandon you to what you seek and long for. Do you see? Allah has promised. Now, think about this thing. Allah says, I'm going to fill your heart with richness. What is it? In other words, when you stand in one salat and try to just concentrate and be attentive, Allah is going to enrich your heart. In other words, as you say the second salat, you'll be in an even better position. And you say the third salat, you'll be in a better position and you'll go on improving, right? The richness of heart is what? the cleanness of the heart, right? The heart become clean and just be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? I will not abandon you to whatever you seek and long for. Because now your heart has been just become rich and just preoccupied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is promising you, I'm not going to abandon you, right? And whatever you ask for, whatever you seek for, Allah will give you. And it will be upon me to close the door of poverty upon you, and you fill your heart with the awe for me. Now, subhanAllah, the hadith is about poverty, right? It's not only poverty. Poverty is just one of the examples, because when people who are trying to earn, people who are poor, people who have to feed their children, their family, that is the biggest concern, right? All the time. How will I do? What can I do? So poverty is just an example. Otherwise, Allah is going to enrich us with everything what we need. Just if we disengage our thoughts and everything else and just think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that particular time when salat begins. And mu'mineen, I promise you, I'm telling you, this is doable. It's just a matter of training. Keep this mind. So you can see that Allah himself says that now, it will be upon me to close the door of poverty upon you and to fill your heart with awe for me. What is awe? It's hashiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That Allah is so great and I am nothing. But because when I'm saying prayers, right, Allah is paying attention to me. I am in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that thought alone, that I'm in the presence of the King of the Kings, the Emperor of the Emperors, the King of the Universe, the Creator, the Cherisher, right? So you can see your position is there. That awe, that hashiya will be there, entered in our heart on account of training ourselves to say salat with this. The third thing, of course, which really also I've seen really helps is prepare well for salat, mu'mineen. It is important that we prepare. One of the biggest thing in always any life, right? For example, we tell our children, better make sure that you read before your exams. Make sure that you do your homework. Make sure that you prepare yourself. Anything for that matter. Prepare yourself. And the same salat. Yes, before salat, we do wuzu. We have to make the mukaddamat salat. We are told that wuzu should be there, qibla should be there, no clothes which you are wearing should be mubah. Those are there. What I mean is besides that, that as you start your prayer, just prepare yourself mentally, physically, psychologically, right? Peace of mind that just now I'm going to just keep this side. This few minutes just for the sake of Allah. Nothing else will come in my mind. Nothing else is important for me at that particular time. Everything else can stop, right? And this is very important. So do not rush for prayers, especially after a tense work or a drive. Let's say that you are coming to the masjid, right? And you have to go through the traffic and those trains driving. If you come here, of course, if Namaz Jamaat has started, you join Namaz Jamaat, right? But then you say, no, you came here, you just say Namaz on your own. No, just say wuzu, settle down. Few minutes, just sit there, right? Let the mind settle down. And then start your prayers. If you just start immediately, you'll see there are a lot of thoughts. Did I park my car? No, because shaitan will bring it. I came so quickly. Did I park my car well? No. Did I switch off the light? Will I just now see on the television my car being mentioned that no car is running or flies, no lights are on? All kind of thoughts will be there, right? But no, once you settle down there, then you know that no, now it says salat. I always give this example, although I will not see in the books. So this is just for myself. That I just wondered sometimes, the hikmah, the wisdom. What could be the wisdom? That Zuhr is the time which is the middle of the day. Besides weekend, even weekend, but besides weekend, we are all working. Even the weekend, for example, we are busy with other things, right? Preoccupation. So Zuhr is the time which is the middle of the day. Then comes Asr. Why is it that before Zuhr, there is nafilah of 8 rakat? Twice, Zuhr rakat are 4, right? 4 zakat for Zuhr, 4 rakat for Asr. But Nafila of Zuhr is 8 rakats, 4 namaz of 2 rakat each. Mustab, of course, right? Nafila Asr is also 8 rakat. I sometimes think perhaps it could be that no, by the time in the middle of the day you are so busy and preoccupied with certain things, by the time you do those 8 rakat of namaz or 6 or 4, whatever you want to do, because Nafila, right? You can do whatever you want. At least your mind settles down, so by the time when you start your wajib namaz, you are properly already, you know, focused towards namaz. Do you see? So it is important that when you start your namaz, always prepare yourself and settle down. It is very, very important that we do this thing. That will really help. I've personally tried this thing. That's what I'm saying. It's a practical tip. That sometimes, for example, there are some programs whereby you can just set that before azan time, there can be Quran, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So for example, let's say that if you are working at home, sometimes you decide to work at home, right? And you want to say your Zohar namaz or Maghrib namaz. Nowadays, Maghrib namaz is quite early, let's say. So it takes, for example, from the time your table, you get up from your table, go and renew your wudu or do your wudu and come back. Say, for example, it takes 10 minutes, right? So you can set to 10, 15 minutes of what Quran before azan. So the moment the Quran starts, just get up, right? Go and renew your wudu or perform your wudu. Come back. It has taken 10 minutes. Another 5 minutes, just sit on your musalla there. Just settle down, right? As Quran is being recited. And then start your namaz. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you'll come back and say, yes, we tried this thing, it worked. Then you say your namaz, you'll see the difference. Because there's 15 minutes gave you the time. Rather than no, azan started and you're working, so suddenly you rushed. You went for your wudu. You're not even sure because you did so fast. Did you perform your wudu well? The du'as of wudu and other things, did you do it or not? You come back and start saying namaz because you didn't want to delay. You don't want to feel guilty to delay your namaz. No. Just prepare yourself, right? That really helps. Azan and ikama help preparing for the actual prayers. Some of the scholars, for example, Karati has a very good book when he talks about preparation for namaz and other benefits of namaz. He mentions there that this azan and ikama actually help us, it is there for our spirits to rise, right? Before we start having communication, this azan and ikama are there. So we perform azan and ikama. I remember when I was in Nairobi, at that time the Maulana who was there, he used to say that azan and ikama are salah, sunnat al muakkida. That means, he said it is so much recommended that he says only a degree less from becoming wajib. Azan and ikama is so much recommended. Don't abandon it. But we say, I'm a very busy person today. So what I'll do, I'll just say namaz. I won't say azan, I won't say ikama. No. There is wisdom in it, right? Say azan and ikama and also sit and try to in fact see that what we are saying azan ikama. Now those words, what we are saying, I hope all of us know the meaning of azan ikama. And then we start our salat, you'll see that, and that is why you'll see the hadith which are there. For example, one of the hadith says when a person performs azan ikama, the reward is what? The reward is that all the angels, between the east and the west, right? Take for example, the angels which can fit between east and west, how many? Thousands, millions are also praying for you, right? Just by saying azan ikama. Why are so many hadith, why much so much emphasis? Because the fact that it prepares you, it helps you for your salat, right? So do that, right? And sit on your prayer mat and say to reflect on the Quran. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The next practical tip which I would like to share with you is, most of us are not Arabs, of course, and Arabic is not our mother tongue. No? But then, let's learn the meaning of salat, what we are reciting. Again, it's not a big deal. I'm not saying because I went to the Hawza, no. We have seen even children in madrasa know this thing. And I always tell them, just take Maghrib namaz. There is Maghrib namaz, there is Isha namaz, there is Zohar, right? All those namaz. Just take Maghrib namaz, which is 3 rakat. Learn the meaning of the zikr in Maghrib namaz. The meaning, right? Of whatever you're reciting. If you know that you know the meaning of all the namaz. Because the same formula is repeated again and again. So why don't we just once in a while, for example, do that, learn it, let your wife, let your son, let your daughter, let your cousin, let your teacher test you that you know the meaning, and that's it. You invested for the rest of your life because we are going to say namaz for the rest of our life, right? So once in a while, just try to learn this thing. If you know the meaning, then what happens? Then you really feel that actually I'm talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, the recitation which we say in namaz, these have come to us from the imams. The imams received from the Prophet. And Jibreel came to the Prophet from Allah with this verse. In other words, they are no less than the Quranic verses, right? And in fact, in Qiraat, what do we do? We say Surah Al-Fatiha and any other surah, two surah, right? Which is Quran itself. So you can see that these are important words, right? Let's try to learn them, and when we know the meaning and as we are reciting, for example, we say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. One day somebody asked this question, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Oh, it means Allah has heard the one who has praised him. Sami Allahu. Samia means is a tense which is past tense. Sami Allah has heard it. Sami Allahu liman hamida. The one who praises him. Liman hamidahu, right? So he said, don't we say Alhamdulillah after that? Now do you see this thing? Because he took that phrase and thought about it and comes with a question. That he says, Allah hears the one who praises him. Then don't you say Alhamdulillah after that? I said, indeed you are right. It is Muslim to say Alhamdulillah after that. Do you see this thing? So automatically when you understand what you are saying, you are now interacting in your salat, right? When we say, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la wa bihamdi. Where do we say this thing? In which state? In sajda, right? Now imagine, if we are saying this thing understandingly, that I am in sajda, that means I'm in the most humble position. My face, which gives me identity every time I go out, although my maybe dress are not best, but at least I check my face, right? That there are no marks. This gives me identity. That no, at least it's presentable. We do this thing, right? All of us, without fail, right? In olden days, we are told when there were no mirrors, they would stand in front of the water and try to see this thing, right? This is human nature, right? So this face which gives me identity, I am putting this on the earth, same place where I stand, right? But I say, no, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la wa bihamdi. Glory be on my Lord, the one who is A'la, who is most supreme and high. Now, when I say this thing and I'm in sajda, brothers and sisters, one day you will say, what is this? I am talking about Allah's quality, saying that Allah is most supreme and high, while He makes me do sajda and put my face on the earth. What is this? It's too extreme. At one place we are saying Allah is supreme and high, and I am putting my face down. Yes, that's exactly what it is. That is what the sajda is, that's what humbleness is, that's what humility is, right? You can see. So it is a practical example. When Allah says, "Allazina hum fi salatihim khashi'un," that khushu, we are doing it physically, practically, by putting our face on the earth, but now knowingly, because now I understand what I'm reciting. Do you see this thing? So when understanding the meanings of what we are reciting, the zikr, automatically will give us that kind of feeling that no, we are in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, this is whom I am worshipping. He's Allah who is most supreme, right? So when we say this thing, understand. So it's important that we learn. The next practical tip, which I would like to share, is the Prophet told Abu Zar, you recite Salat, although Allah, you cannot see Allah, but Allah can see you. That is important, right? We cannot see Allah because our eyes, as Quran says, our eyes does not have that idrak, do not have the ability, right, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is a creator, right, khaliq. How can a makhluk, in fact, right? But He sees us, right? And automatically, we always say this thing, that when we are in the presence of a despotic ruler, imagine this example, person maloon like Saddam, were to summon you, and you are in presence of him. Would you start playing with your beard? Would you start fondling your fingers? You would never do that, right? You would never do that. This is a Saddam who is just a person, like you. He also has weakness like us, right? But just because at that time he's a position, he will not do that. He is no comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the greatest of all, right? The king of the kings. In his presence, just imagine that you are in whose presence you are, right? Keep this in mind when we do these kind of things, that full realization that we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are saying, you are in communication. One of the hadith says that when a person says salat, Allah is just paying attention to him, like as if Allah is paying attention to you, right? When you think about something else, then Allah gives you one chance. Then again, you after your thought, for example, got distracted, you are back in your salat, right? Second time. Again, your thought distracted, got distracted second time. You thought about something else in namaz. Third time, for example, you got distracted again. Your thoughts went outside salat. After that, Allah abandons you. So until that time, Allah doesn't abandon you. What does that mean? That if your thoughts do not get distracted, Allah is actually watching you and is so pleased that this is the banda of mine, this is my servant who is doing nothing but just worshipping me and is total focus, right? So keep that in mind. There is a very interesting incident in the life of the sixth Imam, in the fourth Imam Ali Zainul Abidin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Abu Hamza Somali says that I saw Ali ibn Hussein offering prayer when the cloak slipped from his shoulder. This Aba just slipped, right, from his shoulder. The Imam did not arrange it until he had finished. Imagine now, it just slips. It's not a big thing to just arrange it, right? He did not arrange it. So Abu Hamza Somali says that I asked him about it. Why didn't you arrange it? The cloak fell down. Didn't you realize it? Now see, Imam, it's not that Imam didn't know. Imam says, woe be to you. No, waylaka. Don't you know before whom I am standing, before I stood? In whose presence I am? Do you see? In other words, Imam literally realized, although Imam like you and me, Imam cannot see Allah. Right? He cannot see Allah. We can only see Allah through from our heart, as Imam Ali says, right? But physically we cannot see Allah. But he realized that he's in the presence of Almighty Allah. No. The creator, the cherisher, right? The Rabb. And because of that, even to adjust his cloak, his abba, which fell down, even that Imam did not find as appropriate. With us, oh, phone is ringing, right? We open, we take the phone, nowadays because of, right? Phone is ringing, and then you are saying your namaz, and you see, oh, let me see who's doing that. No. How can you do this thing? No. This is a bala, right? Let's keep, switch it off. Or if, I always say this thing, that even if you mute your phone and you keep near salat, when it rings, immediately what will happen? Tell me, in your mind. You will think, who has called me, right? First of all, you start thinking, no, it must be my friend Ali, must be my friend Mehdi, must be my friend know this, maybe my wife is calling. So all those thoughts are there. And then after all those thoughts are coming, second say, this person doesn't realize that namaz time is calling me. Now do you see, all those thoughts are happening in namaz, while you are saying namaz, because you cannot stop namaz. These are all distractions. Why do we allow ourselves with those kind of things, situation? Keep this aside. If you really feel that you're expecting some very urgent call, give to somebody. No, wrong. That no, if this comes, just please take the message. If somebody's there, for example, otherwise leave it aside. You know, it can wait. Nothing is that important other than no, you are saying salam. So it is, you can imagine Imam refused even to adjust his abba. This is when it comes to in whose real presence we are. The next tip is that for us all to end this thing. Do not allow forgetfulness to reign you. Now this is especially, I can see, mashallah, elders here, right? The seniors are there. One of the biggest things, even I'm going to get senior soon, inshallah, you know, and realize what it is, right? It is that as you grow older, one of the biggest things is forgetfulness, right? We tend to forget. Is this my second rakat? Is this my third rakat? Did I do one sajda? Did I do two sajda, right? Those kind of thoughts, forgetfulness is there, right? And when that happens, it's frustrating, it's embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing, you find that, no, it's embarrassing, and again, the spelling is not correct, that to forget where you have reached in prayers. Is this my second rakat, third rakat? Why is it? I could not concentrate. No. Now this you get distracted in trying hard to remember what you have done and what you are supposed to do. That should not be the case, right? So what do we do? Those who are seniors, elders, or for example, those who forget all the time, use different zikr and ruku and sajda for different rakat, right? So for example, let's say that you today, and this should not be routine, change the routine. Today, before you start namaz, in the first rakat today, in the first sajda, I'm going to say, Subhan Rabbiyal A'la wa bihamdi. In the second rakat, I'm going to say, Subhanallah, 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 right? You decided this thing, so what happens? When you are go to sajda of the first rakat, because you have yourself disciplines, right? You want to say that today, I want to say Subhan Rabbiyal A'la wa bihamdi in the first rakat. So you will pause even for a second or a fraction of a second, to say what you have decided to say. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you will just say whatever comes to your mind, whatever comes to your tongue. No, that's how we forget, right? So try to have, for example, different zikr for ruku and sajda in different rakat, right? Or different surahs. Now, in the first rakat, for example, I'm going to surah al-hamd in different surah. In second rakat, for example, I say sukul lahad. Now, people think that it is must because they see imam or mulanas reciting surah al-kul lahad in the second rakat. They believe that it is a requirement. No. The requirement is it's mustahab to recite surah al-kul lahad in namaz, right? It's important. Try to make sure that a day does not pass by we have not recited surah al-kul lahad. Highly emphasized, there is no doubt. But nowhere it says that you must recite surah al-kul lahad in the second rakat. You can recite different surahs in different second rakat. So that way it will keep me alert that I have to say certain things. You yourself decide. Nobody decides. You yourself decide before the namaz that today this is my pattern I'm going to follow. Because you have to follow a certain pattern, you'll be alert and you'll be attentive to in which rakat I am. That will help you to in fact be, no, let's forget. But even then, for example, as people become old sometimes, they face this what challenge. So what do you do? For example, sometimes if you see, especially for example, if you're in the middle of the day, you think that you're going to forget, what do you do? Take this tasbih, right? Everybody does tasbih. When you are saying your namaz, if, for example, people forget about the number of rakat, in which number you are, if that is the kind of bala somebody is facing, if you are in that ibtila, right, in that kind of problem, then when you are in the first rakat, let the tasbih be on the right side. When you are in the second rakat, which is of even number, let the tasbih be on the left side, right? Just move the tasbih. When you stand for the third rakat, again, move the tasbih on the right side. So that way, although you are shifting your tasbih without distracting, without, for example, moving away from the qibla, it's very, nobody even realizes that you are doing this thing. Only you know. That way, at least, that tasbih will realize, oh, this tasbih is on the right side, this one must be my third rakat. Because what happens, we, for example, say, is this my second or third? Third or fourth, right? So this will help you that, no, for example, on the right side, the tasbih is there, that means it's an odd number of rakat. The tasbih is on the left side, is an even number of rakat. Any kind of things you can develop yourself, right? If you, for example, sometimes forget tasbih, just more, this turba on whom you are doing sajda. As you are getting up for the second rakat, just move the turba for the left side, right? Because now second rakat. Then as you come back to sajda, just keep the turba properly. As you are standing for the third rakat, just move to the right side. But keep yourself some kind of ways it will remind you. And if nothing helps, then there is a Mohre Amin. If you go to the bookstore, you can buy a Mohre Amin, whereby it tells you in which rakat you are, how many rakats you have done, how many sajda. There are turba, there are more you can use. But don't allow the forgetfulness to control you and disturb and distract your namaz. Because when a person forgets, then he is embarrassed, right? He is really frustrated and disturbed that, what am I doing, right? I'm even forgetting about this thing. Ah, I'll just start my namaz again. No, that should not be the case. No, try to be alert, and it is possible. Oh, of course, somebody has a disease, for example, Parkinson's, a different thing we are talking about. We are talking about normal life, right? Just, for example, seniority, right? And the seventh thing, very quickly, I'll try to end, is that try to observe awwal and fazilat timings of prayers. Wherever possible, try to say your salat at awwal time or within the fazilat. Especially nowadays, winter time, you know, you can see, you know, both afternoon prayers is around 12. Maghrib namaz today was, you know, about 5:15. You know. So tomorrow, you'll find it's getting earlier. So try as much as possible. Adjust your work. Talk to your employer that, you know, I'll be taking off, for example, but I'm going to give that extra time. I leave home, for example. Let's say I work, I leave, for example, at 5:30. I'll leave at 6 o'clock. But I'll find that time. It is important that we try to observe things as much as possible, especially in this country where there is all kind of facilities and freedom to worship. We should take advantage of that. When a person does that thing, when you say your prayers at all time and further time, that is what is considered as person has not taken salat lightly. That's one of the reasons. Let me end with this hadith, no, whereby Abu Basir says that the seventh imam says his father said, at the time of his death, my father said to me, the sixth imam advised his son, the seventh imam, my son, the one who makes light of salat will not receive an intercession. A person who takes salat lightly will not receive the shafa, you can imagine. The shafa of a'imma will not be received by those who taken the namaz lightly. And one of the way to show your namaz, seriousness about namaz and azmat of namaz is saying prayers on time and within fazilat time. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we are able to, in fact, perform our salat in a way that we actually yearn to say our prayers and we enjoy saying our prayers. Mumineen, this is Shabi Juma. And just I would like to discuss only briefly, you know, about the worship of Janabi Fatima Zahra. That this lady, in spite having children at such a young age, right? It was Shabi Juma like this. And her own son, Imam Hassan, says that it was Shabi Juma and my mother made me just go to sleep and put me in the bed so that I sleep. And he says, that night, it took long. I could not sleep immediately. But after she put us to sleep, I saw my mother immediately on the musalla and saying prayers, right? And I also heard that my mother, as she was saying prayers, she would, you know, pray to Allah, taking the names of the neighbors and pray for their welfare. This was Fatima, right? Imagine. And mind you, those days, we are talking the days when Fatima was there, Muslim community in Medina was very small city, very small town, right? So when we say neighbors, in other words, perhaps Fatima has taken the names of every Muslim who was living around there, right? She must be doing that. My son says, I was so much concerned about that. The following day, I asked my mother, I said, my dear mother, I saw last night, I heard that you were praying for the neighbors, taking their names and praying for the welfare. Why didn't you take the names of the family members? And you know what Fatima said, subhanAllah? She said, Al-Jar Thumma Dar, right? First comes the neighbors, then the family members. This is Fatima's akhlaq. And this is her concern for the ummah. But this ummah did not care about Fatima, right? Sheikh Abbas Kumi writes in his book, you know, Houses of Sorrowful, Baitul Ahzan, he says that when Fatima was still in grief, she was still wearing those clothes of grief on account of the death of her father. At that time, you know, people come to her house, right? This is the Khalifa and his cousin, Kunzuf, you know, comes to the house and knocks the door loudly. Open the door, oh Abu Talib. No, open the door, oh son of Abu Talib. At that time, Fatima says, why don't you leave us? What will we have to do with you? And he said, no, open the door. And if you don't open, I'm going to burn, right? And then he orders. These are the people who became the leaders. He orders his servants and his cousin Kunduf to take this fire and wood start burning. And the door started burning. He writes, the pot started burning. When it started burning, now because of that, it became loose. He took the door and threw towards Fatima, right? And just enters there. And Fatima is trying to stop him, what he does, actually he removes his sword, this person, and hits one side of Fatima. And if that was not enough, he takes the whip and also, again injures Fatima on the right side, right? On the arm. In fact, so much whipping that Imam Ali says that because of this whipping, there was such a mark on the arm of Janabi Fatima as if there's a bracelet which was there, right? On account of that. But not only that, because of this zulm, Fatima had a child in her womb. And Sheikh Abbas Kumi says that child died on account of this Fatima being crushed between the door and the wall, right? This is what they did, zulm to this. And we are told the name of this child is given as Mohsin. These are the Muslims. And Sheikh Abbas Kumi mentioned that when they got in the door, house of Fatima, she was still wearing that dress of grief, of her father. This is what Fatima faced. And no wonder that every time when she would go to the grave of her father, she would say, Marsiya, Musubat alayya masabun, Subat alayya ayami sirra layaliya. She says, oh, my dear father, such kind of musibat and tragedy has befallen on me that in case if this kind of tragedy were to fall on the bright days, they would change into dark night. These are kind of difficulties Fatima faced. Allah la taqul zalimin inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Rahim Allahu man 'ada al-Fatiha. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.